It's hurting me because I really want it. All right, turn with me to James chapter 4, please. We're in the series, Be Still and Know He is God. And that's a good thought when we get to that place, when we're still and we understand that He is God, and that means that we know we're not. Hallelujah. The way we got there is through Mark and Matthew. I'm going to read Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, this is Jesus speaking, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And then we've looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it says this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Notice he says these words. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And we're looking at this, and we're asking the question, what does it mean to love God? Because we know that He loves us, but what does it mean for us to love Him? How do we love God? And it's very simple, but yet we try to make it more complex. Okay, we try to make it harder than what it really is and what it needs to be. And so we love God by knowing, studying, doing His Word. Reading the Bible, studying the Bible, meditating on the Bible, and then doing what we find in the Bible. And that's just, you know, a part of it, but we're kind of focused on that for a while. Because it's important that we understand that we need to know Him, and we get to know Him through His Word. If you don't read His Word, then you don't get to know Him. You know, when Diane and I were dating, her dad was a traveling evangelist, and so she would tell me where she was going to be and give me an address, and I would write all these love letters to her. And like if she was going to be at a certain place for 7 days, I'd give her 7 letters. And I would date them so she could only open them on a certain time. You know what she did? She read them all as soon as she got them. I'm like, honey, you're supposed to, you know, have a little bit of me every day. And she said, but I do. Because she said, then I read them every day until I get the new ones. I'm like, oh, you're so good. She is smart. She is. But it's creeped into the church that we think that we can get to know God without reading His Word, and it's impossible. We can't do that. And so we have to choose to spend time reading His Word. And, you know, spending time with Him also, not just reading His Word, but praying, worshiping, you know, doing things that He's asked you to do. It's all of that, but we're just kind of focused on His Word right now. And so reading and studying, if you haven't figured this out, doesn't happen automatically in our lives. And it doesn't happen through good intentions in our lives either. You know, we'll go to bed and we'll say, okay, Lord, I didn't read it today, but I'm going to read it tomorrow. We have great intentions of reading it tomorrow, and then tomorrow comes and then we don't do it again. And I know there's a lot of Christians who live on good intentions, and it's like, that's not going to help you. You got to do it. And so I mentioned the last time that we talked about this a couple weeks ago that we don't be afraid to schedule this into your schedule. Make time. Because if you don't make time, you're not going to do it. It's that easy. And so we have to find time for it. We have to purpose. We have to be intentional to get into His Word. You know, I think some of you may put a Bible underneath your pillow at night and think that osmosis is going to occur, and then you're satisfied with it. It's not going to happen. It doesn't work. And, you know, can I tell you something? If you have a hard time reading it, then play it and read along with it. There's the Bible apps that you can get, and they'll read it for you, and you can listen to it. But I want to encourage you to read it, because here's what happened to me. I loved reading until I was in fifth grade. And from fifth grade on, I didn't really care for it. And so when I came to know the Lord, my appetite for God was so great that I just devoured His Word. And then I found out this, that I would read His Word and I wasn't comprehending it. I wasn't able to remember it. I would read a paragraph, didn't even know what I read, because I didn't have the comprehension. And so I started praying about it, and I'm like, God, how do I fix this? He said, keep reading. He did. And so I kept reading, and I kept reading, and then I'm figuring out, oh, I'm remembering this paragraph. Because what I'd do, I would read a paragraph, and then I would say it back to the Lord, what I just read. And then my comprehension started getting better, and then I started doing two paragraphs at a time, then three paragraphs at a time, then chapters at a time, then books at a time. You can read it, but work up to it. And I'm telling you, if you'll put in your part, God will supernaturally put in some more for you. And so I just want to encourage you. That brings us to James chapter 4, verse 8. And he says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, you do that by reading His Word, by getting into His Word, finding out what He likes, what He doesn't like, and then you start doing what He likes you to do, and you stop doing what He doesn't like you to do with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? But I read this because it says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And we try to make a deal with God, and we say, God, if you'll draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And He said, that's not what He said. And so it's important that we take that step. But I'm telling you, any little step that you take towards God, He's going to meet you right there. He's going to help you. He wants you to meet with Him. He wants us to draw close to Him. Turn with me to James chapter 1. And so we draw near to God by reading, studying His Word, doing His Word, putting His Word into practice. James chapter 1. Verse 22. James 1, 22. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So let's just pause there for a moment. If you're not doing what you're reading, you're deceiving yourself. Plain and simple. Okay? If you are reading God's Word, but you're not doing God's Word, then you're deceiving yourself. I mean, that's what he says, so we can't argue with that. Verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forget what he was like. But, verse 25, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I am so glad that James put in the word, perseveres. Because we are not a people who like to persevere. But if we're going to be blessed by God, then we're going to have to persevere in reading His Word. You have to. So drawing near to God doesn't mean just that we know His Word, but we're doing it. We're putting it into practice in our lives. In other words, we're living according to the direction, the principles that we find in God's Word. We cannot get around this truth. And so the reality is, when you see something in the Bible, commit to doing it. And I know it's a process. I know it takes time. I know the first time you see something in there and you're not doing it, you may just glance over it. But when the Holy Spirit is directing you to do something, do it. It's worth sharing again. My story with my father, because my father wasn't the greatest. And I had a lot of hate and anger towards him. And so I'm reading the scripture after I got saved. And I'm reading the scripture. And when he talks about how you forgive others is how your heavenly Father is going to forgive you. And I'm like, in like a 2-week period, that scripture just kept coming up. I'd go to different services, different churches, and they were all saying the same thing. And, you know, I may not be a rocket scientist, but every once in a while I get it right. And so it's like 2 weeks and I'm hearing this. And so I just sat down before the Lord and I said, God, I said, I'm in trouble. And He said, yes, you are. He's agreeing with His Word. And I said, God, if you forgive me like I forgive my father, then I'm in trouble. And I said, so I'm going to forgive my father because I want you to forgive me. Now, is that like smart? Yeah, it is. And so I did that. I prayed and I asked, I told the Lord that I forgive him. And so then, you know, with God, you always think that you're done. And I'm like feeling good in my heart, you know, enjoying the release of that, don't have the weight of that on me anymore. And so then he says, now I want you to write him a letter and tell him you forgive him. I didn't say it. I mean, that's like, well, God, I just did what you asked me to do. Isn't that enough? And he says, write him a letter and tell him you forgive him. And so I did. That's what it means to draw close to God. You can't just be a hearer. You got to be a doer. And so I want to encourage you, if that's what you need to do, make sure you do it. Loving God is saying the same thing about our lives that God and His Word say about our lives. And we've already heard that this morning. We come to the place where we agree with His Word and we walk in the truth of His Word. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. And then if you find that, you can make your way to Psalm 46. Hold your finger there. But you see, when we begin to agree with God and we put His Word into practice for our lives and we do what His Word says and then we do what the Holy Spirit asks us to do as well that agrees with His Word, that's when we begin to know that we are loved and that we are forgiven and that we have a purpose. And that God has wonderful plans for us and He has a wonderful destiny for us to walk in. And so then you get motivated to draw closer to Him even more. And that's when we find ourselves in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And he says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Do you know how beautiful that is to know that God has already created wonderful works for us to walk in? All we have to do is find out what they are and then walk in them. And I'm telling you, most of them you're going to find in His Word. And then when you begin to do what His Word says, then in the natural, He begins to lead you and guide you to the place of greatness and to the place that you're going to be fulfilled. And you're going to know that you're at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And you're not wandering and wondering, God, what am I going to do with my life? You know that He has plans and purposes for you. And as believers, we don't get to make up the principles that govern our lives. We don't get to tell God how we're going to live and what part of the Bible we're going to follow and what part of the Bible we aren't going to follow. That's not up to us. He never consulted any of us when He gave us His Word. Did He like this? Is this all right if I put this in? He doesn't ask me that. He didn't ask you that either. He just says, this is what I like for you to do. This is what I like for you not to do. And a key for us is to realize that God wants our lives to fit into the Word of God. That means we change in our lives to match the Word of God, rather than trying to change the Word of God to fit into what we want and the lifestyle that we want to live. That's not how it works. And we can't negotiate with God about that. We can't bargain with Him about that. We do it His way or we don't do it His way. It's that simple. And may I encourage you that when you start to draw near to God and read His Word and begin to do it, God doesn't ask us to do things when it's convenient. I wish He would, but He doesn't. He will interrupt our days to have us do something that it's not a convenient time for us to do it. But He says, do it anyway. You know, you're exhausted. You're tired. You're ready to go to bed at night. And then you get a phone call and somebody needs help. And you're like, call me in the morning. It's not how it works. Following His Word is not out of convenience for us. And I think part of our struggle is because you can turn with me to Psalm 46 if you haven't gotten there. Somewhere down the line, we've kind of got it backwards with God. We think that He's blessed because we're saved rather than us realizing that because we're saved, we're blessed. You know, we show up for church, we sing, we give, and we're like, God, aren't you blessed that I did all of this? And He's like, well, not really. I mean, a little bit. We forget that, I mean, our life can be a blessing to Him, but we're already blessed because of His salvation that He's given us. All right, Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And then we put that together with John chapter 13, verses 21 to 25, and it says this. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in His spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom He spoke. One of His disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom He was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to Him, Lord, who is it? And a couple weeks ago, we put these two scriptures together because this is what I believe it is to be still before the Lord, is we're so close to Him that we begin to hear His heartbeat. And so, John, the disciple that's leaning against Jesus, it was customary for him to do that. He purposed to be close to Jesus. He was the teacher's favorite pet. Because he recognized that there was something valuable in being close to Jesus. And so he was. And I want you to know something. The other disciples recognized that as well, because Peter, in this time, wanting to know, hey, who's going to betray him? John was so close that he could ask him. And so he motions to John. So, I mean, it's customary. This was normal. This was a normal way of life for John, to be that close to Jesus. So the word still, when he says to be still, in the Hebrew, it's the word rapa. Rapa. And it simply means this, to be still. Now, how hard is it? It's very hard. Because we have so many things. And then, you know, I for me personally, I am being challenged with it. I used to multitask with God. I would be still, but I'm thinking in my mind of all the other things that I can be doing and all the other things that I need to do. Or, you know, you have your tablet out and you're playing games while you're thinking about God. Well, you know what? I don't even do that anymore. I've just come to the conclusion that, you know what? I'm not going to multitask when it comes to spending time with God. I'm just spending time with Him. It's me and Him. And my mind is going to be set on Him. My mind is going to be set on His Word. Now, also this word, to be still, putting it into practice, doesn't mean that we're not doing something. It just means that we're stopping doing all the peripheral things and we're honing in to pay attention to Him, to give our time to God. This is how I used to multitask. I used to read God's Word and I'd have different things in the background on the radio. You know what I do when I read God's Word now? Nothing is noisy around me. I don't even have music going on anymore. I just want me and Him. This is our quiet time. This is our alone time. The word know, be still and know that I am God, is the word yada, Yada. And it means to perceive, understand, know, discern, cause to know, be aware of, to know personally. And so when we make it a habit of being still before the Lord, what we find out is He's God. And we realize we aren't. And then there's a progression of revelation of finding out who God really is and how that is so contrary to our view of God. Starting in Genesis, and I'm not going to do it, but there were particular moments when God would reveal His nature, His character, His ways, and He would do it, He would reveal it, and it would be His name that He would present to somebody. And you see this in Exodus 2, after they came out of Egypt and they're in the wilderness, God starts revealing Himself to His people by a particular way. And so that's what we need to do with God. We need to allow Him to reveal to us who He is, so that we undo the thoughts of who we think God is compared to the reality of who God is. And a lot of times they're so different. They're pretty far away. Now, when God would reveal Himself in these different encounters, He did it for two reasons. Okay? Well, probably more than two reasons, but only two reasons we're going to look at. The first reason is because He was revealing His love towards the people. I think of in Exodus, when God declares to them, He said, I am the God that heals. Okay, why is He doing it? Because He's letting them know that He's watching them, He's caring for them, and He loves them. And if they have this issue, they can get healed from it. That's His love. So the first reason is God's revealing His love towards us. But the second reason is because He's revealing who he is, and he's holy. Not only is he love, but he's also holy. And so he's revealing it. And holy, in its primary definition, it means to be set apart. And so God, when he's telling them, I'm your healer, he's setting himself apart. There's no other God that is healing. There's no other God that can do that. So not only does he love them, but he's setting himself apart in healing them. And that's his holiness. And so he's revealing. And when I think of holiness of God, I always put it with the context of justice too. Because God is holy and he's just. Now, usually we don't like to go too deep into the holiness and justice part. But it's there. It's part of the Christian life. And we're studying that in The Awe of God by John Bevere. So, man, I encourage you to be part of that if you can. When God reveals his love and his holiness, and he said it, he loves to do that. He loves to reveal to us his love. But he also loves to reveal his holiness. Excuse me. If you'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, please. 1 John chapter 4. I think we're almost done. So that means we have another half hour left. Just kidding. No. 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love God, or who does not love, does not know God, because God is love. All right, everybody got that? God is love. That's who he is. He's not about love. He's not wishing to be love. He is love. Okay? 1 John 4:16 says, so we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Everybody say, God is love. All right. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Leviticus 11:45. You don't have to turn there. You can go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. But Leviticus chapter 11 verse 45 says, for I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall be holy, for I am holy. So we see that he's love. Now what do we see? He's holy. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 1 says this. Therefore, preparing your minds for action, being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, in other words, doing what the Word says, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Why? Because he is holy. Okay? He is holy, so we're to be holy. Verse 16. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God's love, God's holy. Okay? And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. So he's telling them this while they're struggling in exile. Okay? To think differently, to live differently, because he's holy, they have to be holy. Verse 18, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb slain, or a lamb without blemish or spot. And so as we grow in our faith, God reveals and unfolds who he is. He reveals his love, but he also reveals his holiness to us. And in doing that, he also expects us to walk in both of those as well. He expects us as his children to walk in love, but also to walk in holiness. Seeing God as a loving heavenly Father for all happens as we grow close to him and as we see this truth. But this doesn't mean that everybody sees God as loving. If we were to take a poll in here, you know, if you're new in the faith or not, don't even know Him, our perception of who God is not usually of love. Unbelievers don't know the love of God. Carnal, immature believers don't know the love of God. They may know it intellectually, but it hasn't penetrated their hearts. And so for us to draw close, we begin to see this, the love of God, the holiness of God for our lives. And because of the love of God that is in us, we begin to view others the way God views them. And so in doing that, we begin to treat them differently. But we have to understand that He loves, that He, God is love, that He loves us, that He loved first so that we can love others. We can love Him, we can love others. There's got to be a transformation that happens in our lives if we're believers, that not only do we welcome the love of God in our lives, but then we pass that love on to others. But the same is true for the holiness of God as well. We welcome His holiness into our lives, but then we walk in holiness. We've got to do that. We can't be just loving all the time. Because if you're just loving all the time, then anything can go. But God has standards. He has things that He's got. There's the holiness of Him that says, this is the way I want you to walk. And that is because He is holy. If you'll stand with me, please. I don't want you to think that the Holy Spirit is weird, but I do want you to know this. God is going to speak to somebody by the power of the Holy Spirit this week. He's going to drop His love into your hearts like you've never experienced before. When that happens, I want you to text me. If you don't have my number, find it. Somebody has it. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would be a people who draw close to You, who are willing to take the time to be still and know that You are God. Lord, our world is wrapped around with everything moving so fast, everything changing so fast. Father, we need to hit the pause button. And we need to be still. We need to meet with You. And Father, I pray that You would begin to speak with us and lead us and guide us to be still before You. So that when we're still, we find out that You're God and we aren't. But we also find out that we get the real You. And not our perceived You, not what our thoughts are about You, but we get to see Your thoughts about You, and then we get to hear Your thoughts about our lives. Help us to be still and know that You are God. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. All right, be blessed. Have a great week. Don't forget to text me. And if you need prayer, feel free to come up. We'll be delighted to pray with you.